Daniel chapter 6, would you take your Bibles there and go with me, the sixth chapter in the book of Daniel. Let's gather a few more thoughts today from the Word of God. With this in mind, keep your windows open. Keep your windows open. Somebody say amen. Amen. The title of the message is not open your windows. Huh? That'd be another message. The title of the message is keep your windows open. So in order to keep them open, they got to already be open. Huh? See, if you're not already living for God before the challenge comes, you ain't going to start when it does. Preach, pastor. See, if you can't pray when nobody's bothering you, you ain't going to pray when they are. You can't live for God when nobody's getting on your nerves. You're certainly not going to live for God when they're on it. Listen, if you can't do it in the light, you sure ain't going to do it in the night. So everybody say, keep your windows open. Keep. One more time. Keep. I want you to really blast that first word. Ready? Keep. Let's do it. Follow my lead. Now we're just going to pause now after we get that keep. Ready?
Keep.
Oh, yeah, I like that. One more time.
Keep.
That's all right. She's listening, though. She didn't say blah, 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 blah. She said, your window's open. Give her credit. Amen. Ready? All right, this time this side do the keep. This side do your windows open. All right, ready? Let's switch it
open.
All right, balcony, y'all ready? Bottom level? Ooh. I heard a little accent up there. I heard somebody say, your window's open. I just don't know whether it was Haitian or Jamaican. Huh? I just don't know. Everybody, I'm coming your way next. Everybody together? Let's keep them open. And this is as tough a day as ever to keep them open. That's the problem. Many that were living for God are now facing the challenges and they're pulling down the blinds. Not everybody has decided not to serve God. Just most people want to do it undercover. Oh, pastor, I still pray. I just don't pray where anybody can see it. Keep your windows open. Now look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Everybody say he knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Come on now. He was living in Babylon, but he didn't forget where Jerusalem was. Come on now. Sometimes life will take you some places you don't want to be, but don't forget where you came from. Come on now. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Thank you for your grace. Now use the Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash between culture and Christianity. The world wants to make their way the only way and make the Christian way the weird way. The world wants you to feel bad for living for God, to be embarrassed about doing right, to be ashamed about being a Bible believer and a Bible behaviorer. See, some people claim to be a Bible believer, but they don't behave like they believe the Bible. I'm convinced the only part of the Bible believe is the part, your Bible you believe is the part you behave. See, believing is only that which moves you to action. Anything else just masquerades belief. Faith without works is dead. If we truly believe the Bible, we'll live the Bible. Why call ye then me Lord and do not the things that I say? If any man will do my will and hear my will, do my will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or I speak of myself. There is great power in obeying the word of God. And by the way, obeying the word of God as you receive it. No use in asking for more if you won't obey what you've already received. And here is Daniel in the land of Babylon. We follow him in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He's doing pretty good, isn't he? Chapter 1, no meat, no wine, king. Why? Because God said no. Hey, let me tell you something. You better have better reasons in your life than, well, it's just not convenient. I just don't have time. It's just not popular. People are going to talk about me. You better learn not to do stuff because God says no. Chapter number 2, he's the only one that can interpret the dream. Chapter number 3, here he comes. And he's influenced these fellows so much that now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are refusing to bow down. We will not bow down. You can pressure us. You can threaten us. You can tell us that you'll throw us into the fiery furnace, but we will not bow down. Now, Daniel chapter number 6, we're watching Daniel in an elevated position. And this is a prime position to be in, to either impact people for good or impact people for bad. Listen to me. The more people that are watching you, the more you pull down when you fall. Did you hear me? The more people that are watching you, the more you pull down when you fall. He was elevated in his position. By the way, he wasn't elevated because he got lucky. He was elevated because he was faithful. A man's gift maketh room for him. Listen, I've told you, in all labor there is profit. Proverbs 14:23. You do right. You work hard. You be honest and God will promote you. Psalm 75. It cometh not from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. He setteth up one and taketh down another. Listen to me. You don't have to promote yourself. You don't have to position yourself. You don't have to plan out your own success. You do right. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You don't find success in the Bible, but you find it in Joshua chapter number 1. You know what it correlates with? When you take the word of God and do what it says, you will have good success. Now, somebody in the building is going, well, why don't I have more money? Why don't I have more fame? Why don't I have more friends? See, the problem is you can't enjoy success unless you know what it is first. If you think success is just about having more money, then why are all these people that have money so miserable? You think success is about having a bunch of friends. Why do these people have a bunch of friends, but they don't understand the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Why do these people have a bunch of fame, and yet they take their life and they don't want to live anymore? I'll tell you why. You'll never find joy until you meet the joy maker. You'll never get joy until you surrender to the joy giver. You'll never understand fulfillment until you meet the one who created you and you live for him. There is no better life than the life surrendered to God. I'm so sick and tired of people who are trying to make the Christian life, the boring life, the miserable life, the offbeat life, the life where you don't have any fun. You can't do anything, can't go anywhere. Got to live by the Bible, got to live in this crazy world and be a little holy two shoes and a holy roller. And you can't, let me tell you something. You find me somebody sold out for God, living this Bible, staying away from sin, filled with the Holy Ghost. You find me somebody who's praising and worshiping. You find me somebody who's walking with good men. You find me somebody who's being a soul. You find me somebody who's learned to give to God 52 weeks out of the year. You stack them up against the rich people, the famous people, the popular people, the movie stars, the rap stars, the athletes. And I'll tell you what, the child of God will win every single time. I don't go to bed at night smiling because the money in the bank. I go to bed at night because I know the one who all the gold and silver belongs to. I know whom I have believed, and he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There is no better life than serving God. Go ahead out there and try it like Lot did. Try it like Demas did. Try it like the prodigal son did. Everybody's saying, I don't believe Christianity is real. You stack what Christianity has done and you stack what the world's done. Christianity wins every single time. They've tried it. They've failed. They've tried Jesus and they've won every single time. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with Jesus. The envious plot against him, the evil plan last week, the coordinated opposition, they assembled themselves. Daniel was doing so right, they had to make right wrong. He was doing so right, they had to make right wrong. Isn't that what the world's doing? They're calling evil good and good evil. Come on. I mean, they're calling stuff that's been wrong forever. Now, all of a sudden, somebody came up with the fact that wrong ain't wrong anymore, and now they're calling it right. Somebody came up with the fact that right ain't right anymore, so now they're calling it wrong. Listen to me. For as long as civilization has known any sense of decency, it's always been one man and one woman for one lifetime. Now, how in the world people gonna come up and talk about a man and a man and a woman and a woman? I don't care if they like it. It ain't right because you like it. Well, if you like it, it'd be right. Are you kidding me? I like donuts and I like all these. Let me tell you, it'll kill you if you eat all the time. Don't base what's right based on what you like. You base what's right based on what God said. Amen. Male and female created he them. God has always made a distinction. Marriage has always been what God has defined it. Now people are throwing out marriage. And by the way, as long as you want to live in sin, the convenient thing is to make sin the right thing to do. Then you don't have to take any responsibility for your sin. And so they're going to make a law. I'll make a law with this evil plan. We saw last week what was their cunning objective and their conspired order and their coordinated opposition and the convincing outcome. We want to get this guy to stop praying for 30 days. We said last week habits are formed, routines are set, patterns are established in 30 days. You must make choices. You sustain those choices for 30 days. Those choices become habits. Those habits form your character, and your character secures your destiny. Now, I want to ask you, since last week and this week, have you started on the 30 with 7? Have you done what you know you should do 7 days in a row since last week? Because I hate to bust your bubble. If you ain't at 7, you ain't going to get to 30. I know this ain't math class, but I feel I can throw it at your way. 7 comes before 30. We've got to learn how to sustain our right choices. So these represent what they are trying to get Daniel to stop doing, his godly habits. Now look at number 4 today. I want to show you Daniel's enduring practices, his enduring practices. Now remember, the convincing outcome is this. They convinced the king to sign a decree that nobody could pray to any god except for him for 30 days. They made him establish that, and they didn't make him, but they made it sound like a viable option. And notice verse number 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Isn't it amazing how you can quickly get leaders to make rules against Christianity? Boy, it seems like people just come up with stuff to stop Christians from doing stuff. And then the world seems like they can get away with all their sin. As soon as you want to do something, well, you want to get off for a conference, you don't have no time. Somebody want to get off and go gambling in Las Vegas, they can take all the time they want in the world. Come on. You're going to have to understand that the world is not marching in concert with us. This is the clash between culture and Christianity. But I just want you to notice the enduring practices of Daniel. Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Listen to me now. He was aware. Christianity does not mean that you're ignorant of everything else. Okay, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't know anything that's going on in the world. You listening to me? I think some people think Christians don't do nothing but read the Bible, don't do nothing else. No. I mean, Christians ought to know what's going on in the world. Christians ought to be able to pay their bills. Christians ought to be able to function. Christians ought to be able to speak and to talk about. Listen, if the only thing you know how to say are Bible verses, you're in trouble. You can't go through the line and they ask you paper or plastic and you say John 3:16. I mean, you got to know how to say something besides the Bible verses. See, the Bible's not the only thing you say. The Bible stabilizes everything else you say. See, the Bible is the equalizer. The Bible is what provides fulfillment to all that we do. So if you live by the Bible, you're better on your job. You're better in school. You're a better athlete. You're a better sibling. You're a better husband. You're a better wife. You're a better child. The Bible is what gives meaning to everything that we do. Now, when Daniel knew, you know what that means? He knew what those guys had done. He knew what they'd convinced the king to do. He knew the decree that had been signed. He knew that it was illegal to pray to God. He knew that the consequence of his prayer would be thrown into the lion's den. He knew what was going on. There was clear awareness. God give us Christian people who know that if they stand, something's going to happen. Who know that if they do right, it won't be well received. Who know if they go to that school and stay pure, it won't make you the most popular. Who know if you decide to speak right and not engage in profanity, it won't make you the coolest. Who know that if you live for God on that job, you might not amass the friends. But in spite of your clear awareness, you make committed actions. Look at verse number 10. He knew that the writing was signed. But look at the next statement. He went into his house. Next statement, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now watch this statement. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Look at what the decree says, verse number 7. Whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man
30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. That's the decree, verse number 7. Now look at Daniel's actions. He kneeled, he prayed, he gave thanks. The decree said you can't ask anybody anything except the king. Daniel said, you can't tell me what to do with my God. Somebody say amen. He kneeled. Now I want to tell you something about Daniel's prayer life. He had a place. He had a point in time. He had a posture and he had a priority. Everybody's trying to figure out how to develop a better prayer life. Can I say to you, if there's any area where the devil wants you stymied, where he wants you stale, where he wants you stuck, where he wants you unsuccessful, it's in your prayer life. You sit down to watch your favorite show. It seems like nobody bothers you. It seems like you sit down and watch a game. You can go 2-3 hours and the phone doesn't ring. You start praying for 5 seconds. The phone start ringing. The smoke alarm go off. And you ain't even cooking nothing. Listen to me now. The devil doesn't want you. Listen to me. I tell you why. Because when you pray, he can't interfere. Listen to me. He wants to distract you. But he can't stop you from getting through to your God. Listen to me now. The devil wants to keep you from praying. Ladies and gentlemen, there's power in prayer. We have not in high preached which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Believing ye shall receive. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. James 5. The effectual prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. See, let me tell you something. When Elijah was outnumbered with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves, with Ahab threatening him and Jezebel telling her son to kill him, with everybody standing against him, Elijah didn't get up there and quote some poem. Elijah didn't get up there and play patty cake. Elijah didn't get up there in his own strength. He prayed to the God of heaven and God sent fire down from heaven. You see, when Paul and Silas had been whipped for preaching the gospel and threatened to do it again, and they were thrown in the deepest prison cell, and at midnight when it was darkest, those fellas weren't singing the blues. They weren't looking for somebody to march around the prison to stand up for them. They weren't crying for social justice. You know what they were doing at midnight? They prayed. Prayed to Almighty God, and all of a sudden the prison doors started shaking and the ground started moving and the chains fell. Let me tell you something. Somebody in the building got some chains around you, some generational curses, some problems in your family, a prodigal child, a marriage that's on the rocks. You can go to all the counseling, you can do all the therapy, you can believe in yourself, you can find the champion inside, you can call on everybody to help you. But David said, I lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. That's why Satan fights you. That's why you get distracted. That's why your phone rings. That's why you go days and don't have much prayer. That's why it's easy to just say rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, than to talk to Almighty God. Because the devil knows when you get through to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, demons have to flee. Sickness has to heal. The devil has to leave you alone. Heaven sits still. God pays attention. Jesus makes intercession. The Holy Spirit utters groanings that cannot be uttered. My friend, when you've done nothing else to pray, my friend, you've done everything you can when you pray. And no matter what happened, he had a place. Do you have a place where you pray? If you're struggling with a prayer life, get you a place. Get your prayer, get your closet, get your prayer couch, get your a prayer bathroom, a prayer car, a prayer nightstand. Get you somewhere where you and God get together. Pastor, do I need it? No. But it develops the discipline. I mean, you got a place where you eat. You got a place where you watch TV. You got a place where you relax. Why don't you get a place where you pray? Then get a posture when you pray. Learn to hit your knees. Come on, that's a sign of reverence. Now, sometimes you hit the knees, it's hard to get back up. So you got to hit it smoothly. Got to go down smoothly. But I'm just telling, and not everybody has to get on their knees. Sometimes you can. I remember for weeks I couldn't get on my knees, and you'll get a text from me say I got down on my knees, and well, that week you didn't. I didn't say I got down on my knees because that'd been a lie. But I'm glad even when I wasn't on my knees, I got through to heaven. But there's something special about having a posture. There's something special about our physical posture mirroring our spiritual posture. And somehow our soul gets a better picture of what we're doing when our body does something. So when we hit our knees, he had a posture. He had a place. He had a point three times a day. He prayed in the morning. I believe he prayed in the noon. He prayed in the evening. You know what Daniel was saying? I need him in the morning. I need him in the midday. I need him in the evening. Sometimes you're doing good in the morning and bad in the evening. You're doing bad in the morning and good in the evening. Sometimes you're doing good in the midday and bad. Listen to me. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean close your eyes and don't do anything else. It means remain ever connected with God. Stay in the spirit of prayer. I love Nehemiah standing before the king, his boss, saying, I've got to go to Jerusalem and help build the walls. And he's standing before the king and asking a petition of him. And the middle of the verse, it said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. You think Nehemiah dropped down on his knees and said, excuse me, king. No. He was looking at the king, having a conversation. But in his mind, talk to the king, lowercase k. But I'm also talking to my king, capital K. Sometimes you're getting into a meeting and it's a tough meeting. And you're looking at the people in the meeting. And while you're looking at them, you're saying, uh-huh, absolute. And in your head, you're saying, God help me. God help me. His correct audience. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. Let's stop making prayer about impressing people and make prayer about connecting to God. See, well, I'm afraid, church, that we've been praying so long, we forget what prayer is. Most churches, prayer is just a time where everybody moves around. Because nobody's looking. So listen, let's remember as a church, when we pray, we're talking to God. You tell me the person in your life you'd give anything to meet, and I'll tell you they don't shake a stick to the person who's not just someone you meet. He's your maker. He's your friend. You don't need an appointment to talk to God. You can call him up at any time. Why don't we pray more? It's correct audience. And his consistent approach, as he did aforetime. Here's what Daniel's saying. I know what law you made. And I know how many of y'all assembled to throw me down. I know you're waiting for me to fail. I know you got that lion's den, especially for me. And I know something's going to happen if I do right. But guess what? If I was praying before the law, if I was praying before the assembly, if I was praying before I had haters, if I was praying before they threatened me, if I was praying before the king said I couldn't, then guess what? Have the law, have the lions then, have the haters, have the plan, have the king against me. But guess what? If it was right before, then even when I'm threatened, I'm going to do right as I did aforetime. Now here's my question, I'm finished. What is it in your Christian life that you used to do that was right, that the pressures in life around you have caused you not to do anymore? Well, I don't know. I just, things happen. No, things didn't happen. You quit. I know we get busy, but if we're too busy to pray, something else needs to change. If you're too busy to walk with God, guess what? You ain't going to be too busy to fail. As he did aforetime. Let's run with that today. Say it with me. As he did aforetime. Say it again.
As he did.
Folks, it's not time to change. Now, I'm not talking about opinions. I'm not talking about pet peeves. I'm not talking about personal prayer. I'm talking about biblical principles. If something is right according to God's word, don't you quit doing it when people tell you they're going to do something to you if you don't. You stand for God. You know, consistency is a miracle. I want you to think about the people in your life that you can honestly say they're consistent. I can count on them. I just know that there's some things they're going to do. They're going to pray for me. They're going to be there for me. They're going to be in their place. They're going to give. They're going to have the right spirit. They're going to have the right attitude. They're going to do right. I can put more confidence in them than I even do myself. Only God can produce that miracle of consistency in you. How many would say, Pastor, I want to be consistent? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this. How many would have to say in your heart, but I'm not. I'm not. I want to be. I need to be. Do you know how many Christians I meet all the time that say this statement to me? I just need to get better at reading the Bible every day. How in the world can you be a good Christian? You don't read the Bible every day. You're getting quiet on me. You know what that tells me? There's folks in here don't read the Bible every day. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, you're spending all this time trying to bolster your Christian life. Start with the basics. Read God's word every day. Oh, well, you know, it's just a practice. It's just a tradition. It's just routine. It's just... Let me ask you a question. He put the stars in place and the moon in space. He took man and made him from the dust of the ground. He caused the sun to stand still. He parted the Red Sea. Listen to me. He gave deaf men hearing, mute men speaking, lame men walking, blind men seeing, dead men life again. All power is, he's all powerful, all knowing, all present. He's unchanging. He always has been. He always will be. Nobody created him. He did the creating. There is nothing God cannot do. Do you mean to tell me if you get up every day and let that God talk to you, it won't do significant things in your life? I dare you to prove me wrong. Read it 30 days in a row. Start with reading a proverb a day, according to the day of the month. I started that years ago. Today's 13th, right? So I read Proverbs chapter 13 this morning. Just start there. There are roughly 30 or 31 days in a month. You'll read through the Proverbs every day. Every verse is like a fortune cookie, but just better. It actually works. And then build it up. Don't leave out here today, Pastor. That message spoke to my heart. I'm committed to reading 20 chapters a day. That's a setup for failure. You can't start from zero and go to 20. Okay? So most Christians can't afford a Corvette, all right? So you might have to start with a hoopty, all right? Just get driving. You upgrade as you get better. Start in Proverbs. You're a new Christian, start in the Gospel of John. The life of Christ. What better place to read in the Bible than what Jesus did while he was on planet Earth? You're struggling with depression? Read the Psalms. I read 5 Psalms a day. It's hard to go, oh me, oh my, when you're reading passages centered on the character and the goodness of God. And then add others. Add others. I make it a practice of reading through the Bible a couple times a year. I've been doing that for years. And guess what? It still teaches me new things every day. Why in the world would God write a whole Bible to you and yet you're sitting in the room today and you've never read the whole thing? Well, Pastor, that's a big book. Yeah. If you binge read like you binge watch, you'd be through it. It's amazing what we enjoy doing. We enjoy doing the things we love the most. You fall in love with Jesus, you'll enjoy reading his word. You got to have it. And if you'll start it when the challenges come, keep doing it as you did before time. It's going to bring the heat, but God is good at handling the heat. And who better to have with you when you face the lions than the one that made the lions in the first place. Our Father, we bless your name and help us. Guide us and direct us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.